This study was done to see if, in fact, the change in PSA in the year before diagnosis had any additional significance when it came to predicting time to cancer death, controlling for the PSA level, the Gleason score, and the clinical findings on exam. We had 1,100 men from a surgical screen series, Bill Catalona's, and we had 358 men treated at a Harvard affiliate called St. Anne's with radiation. The surgical patients were slightly younger, 65. Radiation patients, about 71. The follow-up was about 5 years in the surgical series on average and 4 in the radiation series. And the results are that when you looked at what predicted cancer death, it was the change in PSA 2 points in the year before diagnosis. And I'll tell you, when I first saw that, it wasn't intuitive to me that that would be the case. In retrospect now, hindsight's 20/20, it kind of makes some sense. It's probably a predictor of micrometastatic disease. The high Gleason score made sense. The increasing PSA level made sense. And interestingly, the T category went away. But the risk factors that predicted for both cancer death and all-cause death, there was only one that remained, actually. And Gleason was not one of them on a multivariable. When you looked at both all-cause and cancer, it was just the velocity greater than 2. Now, the message is that a new factor defining high risk? And if you have a guy with low-risk numbers, PSA under 10, Gleason 6 or less, T1C or T2A disease, but his PSA jumps 2 points in a year, is that enough to make him high risk? The bottom line is, really for the first 7 years, that PSA jump took a low-risk patient and made him behave in terms of cancer death like a high-risk patient. And so what discussion we can have around this is that PSA levels are dropping at presentation in populations where men are screened. And so the utility of PSA has been questioned by Tom Stamey and others. I would purport that even Tom Stamey's analyses support that if your PSA is high, it's still a bad prognostic sign. However, given that many PSAs now are, you know, under 7 at presentation, the role of PSA velocity actually will become increasingly important in distinguishing out higher risk patients within classic low risk subsets where the PSA levels are low. It appears that palpable disease is disappearing, and its importance when stratified with PSA, PSA velocity, and Gleason score is disappearing, but the Gleason score has remained important throughout. So in summary then, men with low-risk disease who had at least a 2-point rise in the year before diagnosis, low-risk numbers, I should say, are really high risk. And so the implications, and other people on the panel are going to get into some of this, is what should we do with these people? And, you know, there are people who are considering surgery in that group, and perhaps these patients would be worthy of going on a trial where different types of chemotherapy, in addition to surgery, were looked at versus surgery. And there is one such study that's been created in CALGB where they use Taxotere prior to surgery versus surgery alone. Or for radiation-managed patients, maybe they should be considered for radiation and hormones, or some people might even go further and think about putting them on a study where radiation and hormones is the baseline treatment, and getting randomized to plus or minus chemo or Taxotere could be considered. Then I'll finish with this and we'll go on to the next talk.